If you have your Bibles this morning, and we'll turn in them to Acts chapter 11, in just a moment we will read a passage of Scripture where we find the name Christian used one of three times in the New Testament. Good morning, friends. We're glad that you've joined us this morning on the Let the Bible Speak program, and we're going to answer the question this morning, who is a Christian? That may seem like an obvious question and answer. Somebody might say, well, everybody knows who a Christian is. But do we really understand who a Christian is from a New Testament biblical standpoint? We may think about it from the standpoint of what people believe today. But what does the New Testament say about who a Christian really is? And we're glad that you've joined us on the program. We're so glad that you tune in each Saturday. Please tell your friends about us. Tell them to tune in to 1400 JZM and listen to the Let the Bible Speak program every Saturday from 8 to 8:30, brought to you by the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ. We meet at 290 Warfield Boulevard in Clarksville, Tennessee. You can reach us at 931-647-1324. That's 931-647-1324. You can look us up on the web at wbcoc.org. That's wbcoc.org. I also have lessons on my personal website, thegoodteacher.com. Thegoodteacher.com. We're glad that you've joined us this morning, and we hope that our study will be beneficial and helpful. In the New Testament, first century converts were called a number of things. They were called saints to talk about how that they were separated from sin and the world. They were called believers to describe their trust and faith and confidence in God and Jesus. They were called disciples who learned God's word and followed Jesus. They were called brethren to emphasize their spiritual family. They were called the way in the book of Acts to describe how they were following Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. John 14 and verse 6. But a name was given to them by God. For the first time in Acts chapter 11 and verse 26, the disciples were called Christians at Antioch. We're going to read, if you'll get your Bibles, Acts 11, 19 through 26. If you'd like to be turning there in your New Testament, Acts 11, 19 through 26. And we're going to read about these disciples who were first called Christians in Antioch. And we're going to learn about what it means to be a New Testament Christian. You know, a lot of people use the term Christian. They'll talk about America as a Christian nation or a Christian culture. Some people start Christian schools, and it's used that way in a number of different ways. But unfortunately, I believe we have lost sight of the true definition of a Christian in the fog of familiarity. In other words, we use it so much that we have lost the New Testament definition. We use it in the way we want to use it, and it is often different from what the New Testament says. Christian is often a watered-down and meaningless term today. And so I want us to get back to seeing what that really means, and the way we can do that is not to look at what I think or feel or say, but to look at what the New Testament says. So let's read, first of all, let's read this text of Scripture, and then we're going to come back and look at some characteristics of these individuals, and we can learn what it means to be a New Testament Christian. Acts chapter 11, verse 19, let's read it together. They therefore that were scattered abroad upon the tribulation that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to none save only to Jews. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who, when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Greeks, also preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number that believed turned unto the Lord. And the report concerning them came to the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas as far as Antioch, who, when he was come and had seen the grace of God, was glad, and he exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they should cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, and full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. And he went forth to Tarsus to seek for Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that even for a whole year they were gathered together with the church and taught much people, and that the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. So we see the start of the church at Antioch, and Jews and Greeks turning to the Lord. The gospel has been preached to them, and they're saved from their sin. They're called the church, they're called disciples, and they're called Christians first in Antioch. Let's go down through the text, and let's see what these individuals did before they were called Christians, and we'll learn why then they were called Christians, and we'll learn who is a Christian and what it means to be a Christian. We're going to see this morning that they heard and believed the preaching of the Lord. They received the grace of the Lord. They turned unto the Lord. They were told to cleave unto the Lord. They were added unto the Lord. And they were following the Lord. Do you see a repeated theme there? You see, a Christian, his or her life is completely consumed with the Lord Jesus. Everything about his life is that of following the Lord Jesus. Not man, not things of the world, but the Lord. We're going to find in this text the phrase, the Lord, is repeated over and over again. And when we read and study these things, we'll learn what it means to be a New Testament Christian. First of all, come back with me to verse 20. We'll find that a Christian is someone who has heard and believed the preaching of the Lord. Verse 20, but there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who, when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Greeks and preaching the Lord Jesus. A Christian is someone who has first heard the preaching of the Lord Jesus. The gospel always precedes or comes before conversion. Jesus told his disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel, to make disciples of all nation and preach the gospel to every creature. Matthew 28:19-20, Mark 16:15-16. The gospel is the New Testament good news, how that we can be saved from sin and stay saved from our sins. Belief in this gospel, after hearing it, we believe it. Belief always precedes or comes before conversion. It comes by hearing the word of Christ. Paul says in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's how we get our belief or our faith. So we must hear the preaching. We must hear it or read it ourselves. It must be in our hearts and minds, and then we must believe it. And then we confess what we hear and believe. Confession always comes before salvation or conversion. Confession is linked with believing, and believing is linked with hearing. In Romans chapter 10, Paul links faith or belief with hearing. Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ or the word of God. But if you'll back up to verse 9 and 10, what's linked with belief? Well, confession is. Paul writes a few verses earlier, Romans 10:9-10. Because if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, and shalt believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And so we must confess that Jesus is Lord. After we have heard that Jesus is Lord, and we have believed that Jesus is Lord, we must confess that Jesus is Lord. Back now in Acts chapter 11, we find first of all that who is a Christian? Not just someone who names themselves that, but someone who has heard and believed the preaching of the Lord Jesus. Well, somebody says at this point, well, then maybe faith alone or faith and confession is all we need. But we find that there's something else. We must hear. That's what gives us our faith. And then upon our faith, we must confess Jesus as Lord. But then baptism precedes always or comes before conversion, because preaching Jesus and hearing about him and believing him includes preaching the necessity of baptism. Back in Acts chapter 8, we read about the conversion of the Ethiopian eunuch. And Philip was preaching Jesus to him, Acts chapter 8 and verse 12. But when they came to some water, the eunuch said, "Here is water. What does hinder me to be baptized?" But he was being preached Jesus, and then he asks about water. Clearly, preaching Jesus includes preaching the baptism that Jesus commanded. So, baptism and confession and belief all come before conversion. Baptism precedes conversion, just like faith and confession. And so, we need to hear the preaching of the Lord Jesus, so that we can have faith in Jesus, so that we can confess him with our mouth, and so that we can obey the command to be baptized. Many have never heard the preaching of the Lord Jesus, so they can't be Christians. That's why we want to have this program right here in Clarksville in Montgomery County. We hope that others, if the airwaves are traveling farther, can hear. We want you to hear the preaching of the Lord Jesus so that you can become a Christian. Many have never heard the New Testament gospel. They have heard only a perverted gospel, if anything at all. Many have heard human philosophy, the social gospel, faith only, or pray through. Or many have not heard anything religious. There's a whole generation that's not putting themselves where they can hear or read anything of a religious nature. We live in a very secular society. More and more people that I talk to, especially the younger generation, they say, "Well, I don't go to church anywhere. I don't read my Bible." I run across that more and more. A Christian is someone who has first heard and believed the preaching of the Lord Jesus, confessed Jesus with their mouth, and was baptized in the baptism that Jesus commands. And so, we find that, first of all, in Acts chapter 11, a Christian is someone who has heard and believed the preaching of the Lord Jesus. Number two, a Christian is someone who has received the grace of the Lord. Read with me now, verse 21, "And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number that believed turned unto the Lord." The hand of the Lord. Later, when Barnabas shows up, he had seen the grace of God. The hand of the Lord, in verse 21, is the grace of the Lord. God, through Jesus, wants mankind to be saved, and he works his hand, his providential hand, in sending someone to preach to these folks at Antioch so that they can be saved. God's grace always precedes salvation. "For by grace have you been saved through faith." Ephesians 2 and verse 8. We've been saved by the mercy and the kindness and the grace of God. Titus chapter 2 and verse 11. And that grace brings salvation to all men, instructing us. And so God's grace, his favor in sending his son to die upon the cross, in revealing his word through the Holy Spirit known as the Bible, in sending out his apostles to preach, and many others have preached over the last 2,000 years. And by the grace of God, we hold Bibles in our hands. We can hear the truth of the Word of God. Will you let God's grace work in your life today? Someone who has received the grace of the Lord, someone who has allowed the hand of the Lord to be upon them so that they will be converted. And that's our next point. Who is a Christian? Number three, someone who has turned to the Lord. In verse 21, after the preaching of the Lord Jesus, the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number that believed turned unto the Lord. So now we have the matter of repentance. A Christian is someone who has first repented of their sins, like hearing, believing, confession, and baptism. Repentance always precedes or comes before the matter of being converted. There are so many passages of Scripture where repentance is commanded to the audience. Acts 3:19, Acts 9:35. Acts 15:19, Acts 26:20. Repentance. The Greek word means literally to turn again, to turn around. And when a person obeys, when they confess with their mouth, when they believe in their heart, when they're baptized into Christ for the remission of their sins, Acts 2:38, it shows that they are turning. In fact, Peter tells those on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2:38 to repent and be baptized. And then in chapter 3 and verse 19, to repent and be converted. I believe many are at the turning point. They simply need to go ahead and turn to the Lord. Don't put it off like Felix did with Paul when Paul preached the gospel to him. Felix in Acts 24:25 said, "Go thy way, when I have a convenient season, I will call thee." Don't put it off. That convenient season may never come. And don't be like Agrippa in Acts 26 and verse 18 and following, where Agrippa says to Paul, "Almost persuadest thou me to be a Christian." I'm just almost there. I believe many people are at the turning point. They simply won't turn. Excuse me. Are you there? Will you turn? A Christian is someone who has turned to the Lord. Many are willing to turn, but they will turn to a man-made teaching or a man-made church or denomination. Just simply turn to the Lord. Let's keep going down through the text. Who is a Christian? Well, come with me to verse 23. When Barnabas comes, he encourages them. He hears that there is now a church. He sees these new converts. And he has come for encouragement. Barnabas, son of consolation or encouragement. Barnabas is known in his life, especially in the book of Acts, as someone who's an encouraging person. And we need more people like that in the world today. In verse 23, when Barnabas came, we're told that when he was come, he had seen the grace of God and was glad. It's a happy thing when we see people turn to the Lord and become Christians. He was glad. And then notice what he said. He exhorted them, he encouraged them all, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. Here's the next Lord statement, if you will. A true Christian is truly committed to the Lord. The word cleave means to be glued to be convicted, to be truly converted, and you are joined to Christ, and you'll follow Him through thick or thin, and you'll remain faithful to Him all the way to the end. You see, a true Christian who is truly committed to the Lord, baptism is not the end of the process, it's just the beginning, and we must remain committed all the way to the end. True commitment. Notice the statement in verse 23, with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. Our heart has to be committed. Purpose of heart. Joshua encouraged those of his day to have a purpose of heart to obey God and not false idols. Joshua 22:5. We have to put the kingdom first, and we have to have a heart that is not divided. Matthew 6:24. To love God with all of our heart. Matthew 22:37. Paul said in Galatians 2 and verse 20, it is not I who live, but Christ who lives in me. We're completely committed with a purpose of heart. In our heart, we've made up our mind that we're going to cleave to the Lord and serve Him all of our life. Unfortunately, some people become Christians, but they will not remain faithful to the Lord throughout their life. Others believe in the doctrine of once saved, always saved, and that has erroneously been taught. We had an entire lesson on that a few weeks back. If you recall, if you're joining us each week, you may recall when we did that series on Calvinism and the last point, the P of Tulip, the 5 points of Calvinism, perseverance of the saints, or once saved, always saved, is a doctrine of Calvin. It's a man-made doctrine, but not a New Testament truth. We can fall away. There are examples of Christians who fell away. There are warnings of falling away. There are plain statements that we can fall from grace, Galatians 5 and verse 4. So once saved, always saved is not taught in the New Testament. So we have to cleave unto the Lord. We have to have a heart that is devoted. Let's keep going down through the text. Come with me now to verse 24. Who is a Christian? Someone who has been added to the Lord. They've been added to the church, the body of Christ, the church of Christ. A true Christian is a member of the Lord's body, the church. Notice when Barnabas and Saul were joined together, they were gathered together with the church. Verse 26. They were gathered together with the church. Well, how did they become members of the church? Well, when they were baptized into Christ. Well, somebody says, well, baptism is not mentioned in verses 19 through 26. No, it's not. But when you compare all of these things that we're studying with the rest of the book of Acts, you find, as we mentioned earlier, that when someone turns to the Lord, that is at the point of baptism. Acts 2:38, Acts 3:19. And so baptism is here, though it's not specifically mentioned. It is in these other phrases. When you see how these phrases are used elsewhere in the book of Acts and the New Testament teaching, you find that baptism is included. And the only way you can be added to the Lord is when you're first baptized. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 41, the people were baptized, and in verse 7, the Lord added them to His body. And so the phrase added to the Lord, verse 24, much people was added to the Lord. The adding comes after the baptism. We're baptized into Christ or into His church. And so there is a church, verse 26, they have been added, verse 24, and so we know that baptism was a part of adding them or putting them into the Lord's body. We're baptized into Christ, and then we put on Christ. Galatians 3, 26 and 27. The body added to the Lord is the body, the church. There is one body, Ephesians 4 and verse 4. Jesus is the head of that body, Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. And we must be a part of that saved body, Ephesians 5, 23. So, let us be baptized, Acts 2, 41, and then the Lord will add us to His body, Acts 2, 47. And so, being added to the Lord means that these folks were baptized into Christ. A true Christian is not a member of any man-made denomination. They've not joined the church of their choice, as many people say today. But they were added by the Lord to the New Testament church. They were called churches of Christ, Romans 16 and verse 16. And you can be a member of the Lord's church without being a member of any denomination started by man. And you can do that today. And then we find that a Christian is someone who continues following the Lord. We find in Acts 11, back to our account now that we're studying this morning, it came to pass that even for a whole year, they were gathered together with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. The word Christian means a follower of Christ. Disciple means a learner or follower of Christ. And so the last one would be someone who is following the Lord Christ. A true Christian follows the Lord. He's a follower of Christ. He adheres to the teaching of Christ. He belongs to Christ. Look at the last part of Christian, the I-A-N suffix on the end. It means a follower of. In the New Testament, there were some Jews who were called Herodians. They followed Herod. Matthew 22:16. So a Christian, someone who follows Christ. This was a divine calling. The word called here in verse 26 means called of God. They weren't called this by man. Each time this word is used in the New Testament, it means called of God. Matthew 2:12, Luke 2:26, Acts 10:22, Romans 7:3, Hebrews 8:5, Hebrews 11:7, Hebrews 12:25. These are all examples of this word, and it's an act of God. They were called this by God, not the townspeople or what man thought about them. They wore the name Christian by God's giving. They didn't wear any denominational names. Christian honors Christ. It distinguishes his name, and these folks followed Christ. These Christians followed what they had learned, and that's what a disciple is. They had learned the preaching of the Lord, and they're following that. They were Christ-like. They were Christ followers. So friends, as we come down toward the close of our lesson this morning, who is a Christian? A Christian is someone who has heard and believed the preaching of the Lord. They have received the grace of the Lord. They have turned to the Lord in repentance. They're cleaving to the Lord in their faithful service to Him each day. They have been added unto the Lord in baptism. They belong to the Lord, and they are currently following the Lord. Will you do that today? Are you a real Christian as described here in Acts chapter 11? Many are following everyone and everything but the Lord. But let me encourage you to be a true New Testament Christian. Will you hear and believe the preaching of the Lord and receive the grace of the Lord and turn to the Lord, cleave to the Lord, be added to the Lord, and follow the Lord today? Can we study God's Word together? Contact us. Come visit us at the Warfield Boulevard congregation, 290 Warfield Boulevard. Contact us so that we can sit down and have a Bible study together. Our phone number is 931-647-1324. If you ever forget that or don't have time to write that, just contact the radio station and they can give that information. We want to encourage all of us this morning to be a true New Testament Christian so that we can glorify God in that name. Thank you for joining us and have a good day.